This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
We continue with Romans chapter 8. We did verse 1 last time, and we obviously need to say that again and remember what that is saying, that at the end of chapter 7, what a wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is now no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm referring to the RSV, the Revised Standard Version today, because that's the version I learnt the whole of Romans chapter 8 in many, many years ago. Not that I could get very far through it now, sadly. But there is no condemnation. And then he goes on to say this amazing thing, not that that wasn't amazing, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Did you get that? Two uses of the word law. Whenever we talk about the law in the Bible, we always seem to be talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the stuff that God gave Moses at Sinai, and what he brought to the people through Leviticus and through Deuteronomy and so forth. The Torah, the law. And actually, in the Jewish translation of this, the Jewish Bible, at least the one that's on the app I've got, it says, for the Torah of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the Torah of sin and death. And it strikes me that here we see, involved with the Holy Spirit, involved with grace, involved with the new covenant, the word law. It's a law that God has now established, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said. It's a new law from God. And any time a new law is enacted, it overwrites all the laws that it follows on from within that sphere. So let's take motoring. It's the easiest thing. When a new rule or regulation about how you're allowed to drive and what you're allowed to do on the road comes in, it changes past laws. So in this country, up until somewhere in the 1960s, when you saw that white circle with a black diagonal line through it, it meant you've reached the end of the speed limit. From now on, there is no speed limit. No speed limit applies. But then there was a new motoring law in the 1960s, which said that sign no longer means that. Now it means national speed limit applies. And the national speed limit is written down for the type of road you're on and the type of vehicle you're driving. So for people who aren't living in Britain, if you're on a single carriageway road in a car, the national speed limit is 60 miles an hour. If it's a dual carriageway road, it's 70 miles an hour. And you just need to know that the type of road dictates the speed you're allowed. But the point I'm making is, when that law was written, the old law that said you can go as fast as you like when you see this sign was abolished. No longer. You have no defence to say, oh, but that sign means this. No, because from now on, from that moment on, new law, new rule. And here we have exactly the same thing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has abolished the effects of the old law. It set me free from the law of sin and death. Because God has written a new law. Jesus has paid for the old penalties of sin and death. He paid for that. He abolished it. He rose again. He had victory over it. And now, new law. It's life in Christ Jesus. And that's the new law. Verse 3, for God has done what the old law, weakened by the flesh, couldn't do. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. I won't go any further just at the moment. We need to go into what the next bit says. But this is explaining what I just said. The new law has abolished the old law. It set me free from the law of sin and death. God has done what that old law couldn't do because it depended on human flesh. The old law depended on humans obeying what it said. And we have proven throughout history we just can't do it. We cannot obey what the old law says. It's beyond our ability because of our weakened flesh. We will constantly, however hard we try, fall into sin. We will break the old law. And therefore, we are due the penalty of death. And you might say, oh, but the old law had all this stuff about sacrifices which made atonement. Yeah, but only because they were pointing forward to what God was going to do in Jesus and the new law that was coming. And the new law sets us free from the old law of sin and death by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came looking like a man. He was a man. He is a man. And he came to deal with sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh by somehow being the one man that never gave in to sin. Because he was born of a virgin, there was no human male interaction in his birth. He did not inherit the sin from the man. He did not have that. And yet he also grew up and did not commit sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He broke its power in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So he now points back to the old covenant and says, actually, that requirement of that law is fulfilled through what Jesus did. And he reminds us that actually he gave that fulfillment to us. He exchanged at the cross my sin and the death that the old law said I am due for his life, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he gave me that and he took my sin. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And then he goes on, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's now defining who this us is. Us is not the whole human race. Though Jesus came and died for the whole human race, the us is those who follow him. And it says, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this word flesh, in the Amplified version, just to get a slightly different nuance on it, it's in brackets, it says flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature. So, who walk not guided by selfishness and our sinful nature, but according to the Holy Spirit of God. And we struggle with it, don't we? And that takes us back into the end of Romans 7. Oh, when I want to do good, I find that doing wrong is the only thing in front of me. Who will rescue me from this? Thanks be to God through Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. He's done all this for us who walk not according to worldliness and our sinful passion, but according to the Spirit. And it doesn't say we get it right because he had to come to die for us. It says clearly, we can't get it right. It says clearly we are going to fail. We are going to sin. But he has sorted it for us. And the us is those whose desire is, whose heart is, whose passion is to walk according to the Spirit and to put to death the things of the flesh. Although the more we put them to death, the more we realise there are more to come. There's more to be dealt with as well. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, according to worldliness and sinful desire, set their minds on the things of the flesh, of worldliness and sinful desire. But those who live according to the Holy Spirit set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. So how is your mind set? We struggle, don't we? There are times when the worldly sinful things are shouting loud and grabbing our attention. It's not saying this is going to be 100% of your walk, because the whole thing is there is no condemnation when you fall down. He picks you up. He expects you to fall down, because if he could stand up, you wouldn't have needed Jesus to come to die for you. It's an act of will to say, though I fall, though I sin, though I think about the worldly things, my desire is to think of the spiritual things. My desire is to be like the Holy Spirit. And let's just remember back where we've come from in Romans, with Romans chapter 1, looking at the world and how it turns from God and slips a bit. And then when it's got there, it does the next bit down, and it goes down the next level, and then the next level, and the next level, and the next level, and the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness of humanity. And the mind that's set on the Spirit does not want to go down that slope. The mind that's set on the Spirit knows it has slipped, knows that it's gone down, and says, Lord, pick me up. Take me back to the top. Let me be back where I'm thinking of you. Let me be back where you are my focus. I've failed again. I've gone down. I don't want to go down any further. Lift me up. Let me think of you. Let my mind be set on you. Holy Spirit, let me just be filled with you. Thank you that there is no condemnation. There's nothing I can do to put right what I've done. You have done it. You've put it right. You've taken that sin and you've separated it from me. I am washed. I am before you again. No shame, no guilt. Let's get on with today. Help me to continue to think about you today. Verse 6 says, to set the mind on the flesh, on worldliness and sinful desire, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets me free from the law of sin and death. To set your mind on sin is death. It separates you from God. Sin separates you from God. To set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And I do think that if we allow the darkness, if we allow the worldliness, if we allow the mind to be set on the things of the flesh, we can expect death to be working in us. Not just a separation from God, but we are removed from his protection. We are removed from that place where we are under his grace. We're always under his grace, but where we are under the effectiveness, where it can actually make a difference to us, because we've said, I want this instead of I want you. And God honors our choices. So if we get into that place where we are dwelling on worldliness and dwelling on sin, we separate ourselves, and life is not able to permeate us in the way that it should. The Spirit brings life, life in all its fullness, and we are blocking it. So this isn't just theory, this passage. It's also about what you really want in your body. Because if you let your body run your mind, then you are going to have be grasping what is due your body, which is going to be decay and is going to be death. But if you let the Spirit grab your mind, then the things of the Spirit, which is eternity and life, will actually begin to infect your body too. I'm not saying you'll never die physically, but I am saying very likely your body will not decay and you will not see lots of terrible things happening in your body as you move towards the end of your life. I do believe there is something in this about how we live healthy lives. It's not too much reading too much into this at all to see that if we allow our minds to continue in our worldliness and sin, we invite our bodies to decay. But if we can get our minds to the point where we say no, and I want the Holy Spirit to be the focus, I want the Word of God to be the focus, I want my mind set on the Spirit, then there will be life in my body and shalom, peace in my very being. 7, the mind that is set on the flesh, the mind that is set on worldliness and sinfulness is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, and indeed it can't. And those are in worldliness and sin in the flesh cannot please God. Now that's talking about those who are separated from God. I'm talking about as someone who is of the Spirit, why on earth so much of the time do I choose to think about what that lot are thinking about? Do I choose to admire what that lot are doing? Let my mind, Lord, be set on your Spirit, that life and peace might flow through me and enrich me and enable me to be all you want me to be for the glory of your kingdom. Forgive me for every time that my mind is set on the flesh and therefore is hostile to you. Stop me being a foot-stamping, complaining toddler because I don't like what mummy or daddy are taking me to or saying to me. Let me say, yes, I want what you want for me because what you want for me is the best. That, I think, is something of what Paul is trying to get across here. But let's remember, this is about the no condemnation. Don't condemn yourself, feel guilty, feel shamed. Simply come to God and say, I'm in a bad place again. I've been thinking the wrong things again. Help me to change my mind. And it might be even more than that. You might need to be even more honest with yourself and say, Lord, I've let powers and influences into my life which have not been dealt with. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every foul fiend that I have given permission to guide my thinking. And I choose nothing to do with those instruments of death, and I come to you. Next time we'll start with verse 9, which is good news. You are not in the flesh. You're not in the worldliness. You are in the Spirit. But before we get to that, let's just spend that time reviewing ourselves and being honest with God about whether we've fully given ourselves to Him, whether there are things we have held back for worldliness which breed in our very being death, which make us hostile to God in some area of our life. Let's just come to Him and say, Lord, have me completely. And thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.